Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for John's gospel. We thank you for the Lord Jesus who comes across in John's gospel as the Messiah, the sent one, the Son, the one who's has come to save the world. Please help us understand what he's doing now in chapter 11. Teach us, change us, strengthen us so that we might be able to serve him. For his sake we pray. Amen. Chapter 1. They really wanted to hurt him this time. We escaped, but only just. It was a quick dash back to the Jordan, away from their anger, back to the cool of the water and the safety of the other side. It was good to pause, a chance to remember happier times. The wine in Cana, what a party. And then all those baskets of bread and the night he saved us from drowning. So much had happened in such a short time. It was good to rest. It was good to take time away from the crowds, always the crowds pressing in, touching him, wanting him to heal them, feed them. Always the crowds. We're all exhausted. It's good to rest. Who knows what the future holds? But now he's saying, let's go back to Bethany. Is he mad? It's not that long ago they tried to stone him over there. He says Lazarus has died and we must go back. By all reports, he's been dead and buried for a couple of days. So what's the point of going back? I know he loved them, Lazarus and his sisters. We all love them. But he's dead. He once said, let the dead bury the dead. And now he wants to go back. But he's got that look in his eye. Again. That focus. That determination. That light even. He'll go even if he's on his own. He's got that determined look. And he's talking in riddles again. Says he's going to wake up Lazarus, wants to show God's glory. What can he do? Lazarus is dead. And if he goes to Bethany, he's dead too. What can we do? We can't stop him. We've tried that before and it doesn't work. So I said to the others, come on, let's go with him. We might all die, but at least he won't die alone. Chapter 2. You don't expect your own brother to die. Grandparents, yes. Mum and dad. But none of us expected Lazarus to die, and it all happened so quickly. One minute he was there eating and drinking, the next he was lying cold, dead, in a tomb. One minute we're a happy family, the next, we're surrounded by people wailing and beating their chests and throwing dust in the air. Even people from Jerusalem crowded in. But it all passed by me somehow. The only one I wanted was him, and he wasn't there. I can't understand why he didn't come sooner. We knew he loved him. I don't know what I thought he could do. I just knew that Lazarus would have been better off if he'd been here. I was a bit angry with him when he did come. And yet he looked at me so tenderly and he just said, Lazarus will rise again. I knew that. That would happen on the last day. But Jesus seemed to be saying something different, something about himself being the resurrection. Not sure what he meant exactly. I just told him that I believed in him and I'm sure that he was from God. I just didn't quite know what he could do. Then I told Mary he was here. She'd always loved him, even more than Lazarus and me. She ran to see him, took the crowd with her, fell at his feet. She wept and wept, and all our friends were weeping, and he began weeping too. He had a strange look on his face, a mix of anger and pain. And at any moment, I thought he'd explode. Only then did I see how much he loved our brother. We took him to the tomb. He still looked as if he was fighting to control himself. They rolled the stone back and the stink was terrible. Dead is dead. He knew that. But he talked about God's glory again, and if we would only believe in him. Then he looked up to heaven and prayed. Father, thank you that you've heard me, he said. The look in his eyes changed. It was as if he was shining now. Something strange was happening. I was nervous and excited and frightened all at the same time. Then he just shouted, Lazarus, come out. And he did. He did. He was alive. And we ran to him. We couldn't believe it. We raced to take the grave clothes off him. We weren't worried about being unclean. We were just thrilled to see him. Only then did I start to understand what he meant. I am the resurrection and the life. Chapter 3. What an extraordinary event. Raising a dead man. Asked the staff on Monday morning at staff meeting, what do you think the application of this passage is? We discussed it. My last question was, so do you think we should have a ministry in raising the dead? Is that the application of this passage? Maybe it is. This is the seventh and final miraculous sign in John's gospel. And all these miraculous signs are recorded, says John, for a purpose. He tells you that purpose at the end of chapter 20. It says this, all these miraculous signs are recorded so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So it's all here, all for you, for us. The resurrection power of God displayed in raising Lazarus from the dead is recorded in the pages of John's gospel for you, for us. So that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Do you believe? When you see the miracle through the eyes of Thomas and Martha, which I've just tried to do, you get two perspectives on this miracle. We get uncertainty, incomprehension, grief, love, anger, frustration, and eventually joy and celebration. But what do you see? What do you feel? What do you make of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead? There could be all sorts of things you feel and think about as you read this. And it might depend on your experience of death. If you've seen death up close, like I have, then you know how brutally final it is and how awful it can be. So I look at a miracle like this and I see hope. I feel love. I feel victory. I feel joy. Death is not the end. Death does not have the final say. I see the Son of God taking charge, saying to death, death, you are dead. You are finished. You cannot hold the ones I love. What do you see? What do you feel? What do you believe? I wonder what God wants us to see and believe. Let me suggest two things. The first is around the word glory. Jesus says in verse 4, this illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. It's curious why Jesus delays going to Bethany, doesn't it? Isn't it? When he hears that Lazarus is sick. Well, he delays in order to ensure that everyone knows Lazarus is dead. He is dead, dead. And his death unleashes the grief that is natural when someone dies, but particularly when someone dies young. And we know ever since Adam and Eve, death has been an enemy The Apostle Paul calls it the last enemy. It's an intruder into the world that God created that didn't include death. It's a result of the fall. So God's glory and the glory of the Son here are shown in overthrowing this enemy, this intruder, overthrowing the horror of death. Death is no longer. It's a foretaste and a sign pointing forward towards Jesus' own death, through which death will ultimately be defeated. There's God's glory being revealed in Jesus, the one who has the power over life and death, the one who will die and be raised to life so that we might live. So we praise God and say, "Hallowed be your name." And we look at Lazarus being raised from the dead and we see God at work. Here is God's glory being displayed in a way that is unmistakable. That's the first thing. The second thing, quite obviously, is about resurrection and life. Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Quite cryptic unless you're reading this with the eyes of faith, isn't it? And Jesus is saying he not only gives resurrection life to believers, he is resurrection life. It's part of his very being. Perhaps it's like the sun, which is not only a source of light, but is light. Martha knows Lazarus will experience resurrection at the end of time. That was a common belief of many Jews, not all Jews, but many. But Jesus is trying to explain to her, no, it's not going to happen at the end of time for Lazarus. It's going to happen right here, right now, because I, the source of resurrection life, am right here. To us today, Jesus is saying that if you believe in him, you will live. And you will live in two senses or two time frames, one in the present and another in the future. You'll live now, here in the present. And I don't simply mean breathe and exist and eat and pay taxes. I don't mean that. You will live a life of meaning and purpose. And aren't there so many people in the world who have no idea what the point of their life is? They spend so much time and energy trying to figure that out. Well, with Jesus, you will have life, a life of meaning. That's life in the present. And that life inevitably ends in death. But whoever lives and believes in Jesus will never die, says Jesus. That's the second meaning. That's the future life, our resurrection life. That's our forever life. Raising Lazarus is a sign that Jesus has the power and authority to promise that life. Back in chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus says that he gives believers eternal life, forever life. And he says that you will never perish and no one can snatch you from God's hand. Your eternal destiny is secure and settled because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. World-famous evangelist Billy Graham died a couple of weeks ago, and he lived to 99. But even though he lived such a long life, he knew that he would die one day. And commenting on his own death some years ago and borrowing a sentiment from a predecessor of his, 19th century evangelist D.L. Moody, Graham said this about his inevitable death. "Someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will have just changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God." That's what resurrection life means. You will be more alive than you are now. That's what you've got to look forward to. And we only see that through a dark glass, don't we? We only glimpse that occasionally. Jesus asks Martha in verse 26, "Do you believe?" And I'm asking you this morning the same question. Do you believe? Be sure about what you believe. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life?
Yes.
Do you believe Jesus raised Lazarus from death to life? And do you believe he will raise you from death to life?
Yes.
Do you believe that even though you will die, you will live forever?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus has the power over life and death?
Yes.
Do you believe that the best way to live your life is to put your trust in Jesus? If you said no to any of that, I'll get to that. That's what this miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead is all about, isn't it? It's saying to you, believe, believe, believe. All the miracles, including the raising of Lazarus, have been recorded, going back to chapter 20, so that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that by believing you will have life in his name. Now, if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you haven't been able to say yes to those questions this morning, come and talk to me after the service. I'm quite friendly, despite what some people say. Be more than happy to talk, pray with you, answer questions. You're allowed to have questions. Thomas is great in the Bible, isn't it? He has lots of questions. Please do come. We'd be delighted here to try and help you. Or you might like to talk to the person who you've come to church with. If you are a Christian here this morning, you've said yes to all of those questions. Go out with confidence in the Lord Jesus. Bring hope to others. Spread the good news. Rejoice in Jesus, the resurrection and the life. Amen.